Well, I know that there's been a lot of singing, but this song that we're going to be singing, I think that my brother will love it, although I didn't know about his birthday. And so what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to join in the chorus with us, but we will sing the chorus after every two verses. So I'll cue you when to come in with the chorus, and everybody knows the chorus. As soon as we hit it, it's "Let Yes, Jesus Loves Me." Okay, so I'm gonna just cue you to come in with it. All right,
two, three.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Though my heart is white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me trust in him. Though my steps are oh so slow, with my hand in his I'll go. Although life let come what may, he'll be there to lead the way.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Though I am no longer young, I have much which he's begun. Let me serve Christ with a smile, go with others the extra mile. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart he puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
When my work on earth is done, and life's victories have been won, he will take me home above. Then I'll understand his love. I love Jesus, does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love him every day.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. If anybody wants a copy of that song, let us know. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of opening up your word. We ask now that your Spirit would take charge of your servant and allow the message to come forth in a meaningful and understandable way. We thank you for the heads that are bowed in your presence even now, and especially for our brother who's enjoying 91 years. Oh, what a blessing, what a joy to have him and to see the smile on his face as he enjoys your presence, Lord. Bless him. Continue to use him. And may he continue to thrive in good health. We pray for the rest of us that are here. And we ask the same. We ask that you would, Your Spirit would remind us that we are yours and that you will never leave us or forsake us. So bless us and keep us, we ask, even as we wait upon you now, giving thanks in your own worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to the book of James and chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 12 verses. James chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12. Is it Peter James or James Peter? It's James Peter. James chapter 3 verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot decides or desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And I'll read 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. My talk with you today has to do with small members or small things with a big blow. That's what I've entitled it. Are most people truth tellers? Can what we say be taken at face value? Or are we like the Cretans, whose reputation was that they were always liars? Titus 1 and verse 12, you'll find that. Lies, as you and I both know, are communicated by the tongue. It's that small part of the body located in our mouths, surrounded by teeth and gums, covered over with a pair of smackers called lips. This small part of the human body can make a powerful impact for good or for evil. We are warned that we must be careful to control the tongue. You see, the tongue can ruin our reputation. Need I give you an example? Probably not. The tongue can also destroy a friendship. The tongue has been known to start wars, and it can also cause lasting heartache. So we are warned to be careful what we say and how we say it and about whom we say it. There are many times in my own life when I wish I was able to catch that phrase or that word back that I used to someone, especially my wife. And we're all guilty of this because we're not careful. We don't put a guard on our lips. However, the tongue is not all that bad. The tongue can give comfort and hope in time of bereavement. At my age, I am being informed by my friends and neighbors that some loved one or friend has passed on into eternity. And so I find myself going to more funerals than Walmart. Someone is always dying, but the Lord has seen it fit to keep me here a little longer. The tongue can shine the light of saving truth into the mind of someone who is wandering in spiritual darkness. So we can use our tongue then, those of us who know and love the Lord, we can use our tongue to encourage and uplift people, even save people who might be going through challenges in their own lives. We can do that. And maybe we should practice doing that. And so many times we are guilty of just the opposite. The tongue can and is used many times to praise and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All you have to do is to, if you're a YouTuber, go to YouTube and turn on some of the praise and worship songs. I like the Tabernacle and all these guys and ladies that sing in that huge choir. You know. So the tongue can be used to bless and encourage others. Yet, like I say, many times it goes in the opposite direction. Growing up as a young person, in our young people's meeting, we had a game that we played, and I won't lay claim on this as me starting the game, but I know that somewhere during my young life we played this game. And I'm pretty sure some of you have learned to play this game. It's called gossip. What it is I'll start, somebody will start a story right here from our brother, and he'll whisper something to Brother Pedro, and then Brother Pedro is to, whatever he thinks he heard, he will whisper it to our other brother, and then he will then whisper it to my wife, and it goes around, and by the time it gets down here to our sister, you'd be amazed what the story is. Gossip is not a good thing. It is not a good thing. Because sometimes I didn't hear it right. And so what I put out is something totally different from what it started out to be. So I learned a little trick where if somebody came and told me something, if I remember, I say to them, can I tell so-and-so that you said this? That generally kills it. Because they, oh, no, no, I don't want you to say anything. You see? But we need to be mindful. The only time we could be speaking in wild abandon is when we are praising the Lord. When we open our mouth in praise and honor and glory to the Lord, then we don't have to worry. But this is when the enemy comes at us, doesn't he? Because he doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want an unsaved world to hear our testimonies. This morning as I was getting ready to come inside, I saw a lady walking by, and I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if I walked up to her and offered her $20 to come in and sit for an hour with us, would she come? And then I thought, probably not. But praising the Lord is our responsibility. That's what we're supposed to do. And however we do it, as long as we point away from ourselves and point to the Savior, that's what makes the difference. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we don't always praise and glorify our Father. So then, we should not be surprised that the Scriptures constantly urges us to exercise great wisdom. Like asking the question, can I tell who you're telling me about that you said this? That's wisdom. Because usually it nips whatever that gossip is in the bud. Exercise great wisdom and care in how we use this small member of our body. Is it any wonder then that the wise King Solomon was not exaggerating when he warns us in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 that death and the life are in the power of the tongue? The shepherd David was not just writing poetry when he spoke against men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue are as sharp as spears. Psalm 57, verse 41. Sharp as a sword. I'm sorry. And then we come down to the Apostle James, who was not joking when he said that the tongue can be destructive as a fire in James 3 that we read. Driving along on the 405 and into the 5, my wife saw a bunch of trees all dry, the leaves are hanging down. And she said, hun, he says, what would happen
if all of a sudden a spark hit one of those trees. I said it, they would go up in flames, as they often do. And they'll burn the whole area down. And then she said, yes. She said, but you know what? A few months later, all you would see is greenery. And the whole area would again bloom. Why? Because the rains and everything would come. And the Lord would raise up new plants and flowers and everything else. He is the one who can protect us against all those things that we ought not to do with our tongue. Only He can do it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is a sharp sword. I never really think of my tongue as being that, but I have been told many times that I have a sharp tongue. So I need to practice even better in terms of controlling what spews out of my mouth. So what am I saying? I'm saying, brothers and sisters, that we need to be very careful how we use our tongue. In fact, it's one of the first of our members that we had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, take this one over for me. Give me Holy Spirit power to control my tongue. Because many of us use our tongues to hurt instead of to bless. But instead of hurting, what we need to use our tongues to do is to glorify our Savior. That, you see, is the key. That is the key. By glorifying our Savior and our Creator, we do so in prayer and praise. So we, who are singers, should have a song on our lips. And if you think you can't sing, hum. But let us be those who will glorify our Savior and our Creator in prayer and the praise. We are those who are called upon to pray for one another. This morning, we heard the mini report from our brother Ian and his family and what they're going through in Zambia. I almost asked that instead of the message, we should just pray for them. But we can all pray for them individually and as families. And I'm committing myself and my family to pray for Ian. Sometimes we hear of what saints are going through in foreign lands and in the field working. And we don't even think about it after we hear. But this is a case where we can put a face, the face of a family to it, and know what their needs are. And so for the young men who don't work, out of your allowance, put $5 a piece apart. For those of you who are retired, put 10. For you who are working, well, you put up your own price on it. But what I'm saying, beloved, is that if we can't do anything else, what we can do is we can pray for one another. And too many times we forget. Or, in many cases, our prayers are so generic that it really isn't worth anything. But sometimes the Spirit will bring to our minds a loved one, a brother, a sister, a young person, whoever they are. And when that happens, maybe we should just stop right where we are, not in the freeway, but wherever we are where that it's safe, and pray for that one. Because that one might be going through at that specific time some situation, some challenge in their lives. And by us lifting them up, we know that when it comes to God's people, the gates of hell cannot prevail. No way. I worry about men and women who go about their daily lives without a thought of what the end game is in their own lives. In other words, what would happen to me if I died today? And if I asked that question around this room, I could almost give the answer for everybody. But what about you who are out there who comes under the sound of our voices and realize that I might die today? There could be a car accident. If you live in California, there could be gunshots that would take our lives. Bam. Have we thought about that? And when we who are believers think about that, we need to pray for one another and for our unsaved friends and family members. So let us then use our tongues to glorify and not to tear down, to build up, to encourage. One of the best little blessings I get is that somebody would give me a hug and might whisper in my ear, "I'm praying for you." That's encouragement. I'm praying for you. Let us use this small member of our bodies to build up and not tear down, to give praise, honor, and glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you once more for this privilege to open the word and to share with our beloved brothers and sisters and friends and those who might be hearing us by broadcast. We just thank you for the love that was displayed on Calvary. And we thank you that our Savior on that cross, instead of cursing, instead of shouting out the wrong things, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Lord, we thank you that you died on that cross, you laid down your life for the sin of the world. Each individual. And your word says that whoever comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. And so we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. As we separate from one and another, We just ask that your choicest blessings be ours today and evermore. We pray again for our beloved brother and his family, Ian, and his family out in Zambia. And Lord, we pray that you would provide for them in some miraculous way, that they would have the electricity that is needed for the education of their children, for the saving of the food that are being spoiled. Bless them. And let them know, Lord, reassure them that no matter what, you've got them in the palm of your hand. Thank you for loving us in such a special way. And may we be separated from one another, but never from you. We ask this giving thanks in your own worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.